Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Football Podcast Show number
100. It's the World Cup!
And yeah, it's the World Cup.
As I was, why is no one else excited?
I was about to shout it myself until you jumped in, you cock blocker. But it is fucking brilliant. It is World Cup Day.
Can people get more excited, please?
We've been singing.
I'm really excited.
Yeah, I am excited.
All right,
we are, and it's a beautiful sunny day here in Canary Wharf, and we're sat outside. And later on, it's Brazil versus Croatia. And it just could not get much better, could it?
Well, especially when you can get a pint of cider for £2.30.
Yeah, or a pint of Magic Sponge. I thought I'd go for a topical ale, Magic Sponge, nice. £1.99.
Wow.
You know what?
So I bought two of them. Wartime prices.
Exactly.
That's brilliant.
Oh, it tastes like it was brewed in the wartime.
Given that it's the opening ceremony tonight, because it's in Brazil, I might even watch that as well. Scantily clad dancing.
Pitbull and J-Lo.
No, J-Lo's not turning up.
Oh, she's not?
No, J-Lo's not doing it. But there's a great
J-Lo's bailed? Yeah. What the fuck does she think she is, standing up the World Cup?
Yeah, what, has she got other things to do?
She's not Zlatan, is she? I mean, come on.
But did we get Zlatan to the World Cup? Do we know?
I'm not sure, but I hope he's part of the opening ceremony. He's certainly there in the adverts.
Oh, I'll tell you what, that Nike advert...
It's not bad.
Well, it was brilliant because they'd Beats by Dre put that quality advert out with Neymar and co. And they were like, everyone was like, oh shit, as Beats by Dre out Nike'd Nike. Like in their adverts, and then Nike unleashed the cartoon.
I don't know, yesterday I was in between meetings, so I was sat with my iPad, I was watching some of the old Nike adverts. Some great ones that I think a lot of people remember, like the
I know
Next Gold
what you're
Wins, which there's actually a great extended version of as well, that's well worth watching, where Figo sinks the boat. And
weapons.
There's the airport one, there's the Cantona one with au revoir.
There's the Louis van Gaal one.
Is that? I wasn't going to say that. I was going to mention the beach football one from 1997, I think, that's got Ronaldo, Vieri, Crespo, Kanu, a few others. But not well remembered, but it had the Austin Powers music in the background.
See, someone tweeted it. I can't remember who it was, but someone tweeted one of the old ones. You know where they go in to steal?
Oh, yeah.
Steal the stuff. The man driving the minivan is Van Hull.
That's from 2000, isn't it? With Edgar Davids and Andy Cole.
Yeah. But you forget, he only says one line in it, and it just shuts his face.
It's great, some of the Nike adverts.
Is the Olé one as well, where they kick it through each other's legs? Is that one as well? I can't remember. Is that Ronaldinho?
Cristiano Ronaldo nutmegs Homer Simpson.
I do love that, the new one, the animated one. Have you not seen it? Oh, it's fucking brilliant. It's all about, almost like pure football.
Risk everything.
Risk everything. It's quality and good little characters.
They don't voice themselves, but the players are all set up. So Rooney's like a fat scouser and
Ronaldo, as Staples did point out, Ronaldo does sound like the Terminator a bit in some scenes, which is quite funny.
does. But Staples, by the way, 5 days till he goes to Brazil.
No one cares.
Yeah. I've got a fact for 181 and it's World Cup related.
Go on then.
Good lad.
Ben Halloran. Does he mean anything to anyone?
No.
Well, do you know who he is? He is sticker number 181 in this year's Panini World Cup album.
Well done, Michael. That is a pathetic fact.
What country?
Thinking outside the box.
What country is he representing, Michael?
He's representing Australia.
Oh.
Bit about him. 21-year-old winger or attacking midfielder who plays for Fortuna Dusseldorf in the Bundesliga 2.
So he's probably not one to watch then.
Formerly of Gold Coast and Brisbane Roar. He only made his debut a couple of weeks ago. So he was included in the sticker book before he had any cuts, which I think it's a shame he's made his debut because he could have been a sticker that never played.
Yeah, are there many of them?
But he's going to wear the number 10 shirt, made his debut against South Africa.
Wear the number 10 shirt?
Number 10 shirt, and according to the Sydney Morning Herald, he looked lively in his debut against South Africa.
So he is one to watch.
I thought that was thinking outside the box. But he's better than just 181 caps or 181 goals.
Yeah.
World Cup relevant, and this is our World Cup show. We're going to do. Nobody.
Thank you.
What was that?
181 caps. I was just checking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's curious.
That's what I could
exactly. But so this week it is all about the World Cup. I'm sure we'll go on to, there's one big story that we will mention towards the end of the show.
Bobby
Delilah.
Yeah.
Right, that's it, close enough.
Why?
Yeah. Who likes getting his arse out? Or likes getting naked.
When he wins, So he'll be getting very naked a lot, I reckon.
I mean, I don't really see the problem with getting naked when you win.
Yeah.
Getting naked is winning.
Yeah.
Come pretty on. Common for footballers to do that, isn't
not
it?
Not on a pitch.
Well in that Nike advert.
I mean, with a pint in hand, fagging hands nearly.
In that Nike advert, Ronaldo is practically naked, isn't he?
Ronaldo loves to be practically naked.
Yeah.
I do like that.
He's practically naked after he scored the penalty in the Champions League final.
I do like the picture that's done the rounds loads that says, like, England will be fine. Or like that. And there's the two pictures, a contrast of Ronaldo's ripped torso and Rooney's little pot belly.
You know what my favourite picture doing the round is? You know, the Argentine team took the picture of themselves on the plane. Yeah, and then underneath there's a picture of Carlos Tevez looking miserable holding the camera.
Yeah, if he's not taking it. Yeah. See, Messi and Aguero are roommates. They're bunking together.
Yeah, to be fair, they're both quite diminutive, so they probably can't just go in a kid's room.
And,
but
aren't they...
Top and tail.
Probably bunk beds, actually. Yeah.
So, Aguero's married to Maradona's daughter.
Not anymore.
No, they split up.
I think it was daughter. And then, but is Messi somehow? I swear Messi was involved in this. Was it just a threesome there?
Messi was the child that Aguero
right.
Yeah.
I love child.
Speaking of sex and children and Argentina.
Were we?
Operation U Tree in my head.
Forget the children bit. Speaking of sex and Argentina, great quote from Maradona saying, beating Brazil in the final would be like an orgasm. I fucking love him.
Well, that's a good place to start, because I'm going to pose you all some World Cup related questions throughout the show to get your opinions. Who's going to win it?
Argentina.
I think either one of the two, Brazil or Argentina. It's going to be a South American team.
Or Germany or possibly Holland.
I don't think Brazil.
There we go.
That's easy enough.
Quite
isn't
hard.
It?
I think they. Yeah, I think they'll win it. Brazil.
No, I.
The climate over there is ridiculous. It's too much for a non-South American team to.
I was leaning towards Argentina until just now, and thinking about it, I actually am going to put my hat on Brazil.
And Tom, Dan?
Well, I reckon it's going to break the hoodoo of no European team ever winning in South America. I actually think Spain are retained.
See, Spain are my second team.
Well,
no
one's retained it since Brazil, 58,
in the
62, 50s. I don't think, anyway. No, they've not, so...
No.
That'd be quite sad as well.
Uruguay did.
The Euros. Yeah, no, they... No, but I mean,
they'll
since
be the first
Brazil did it.
Well,
I don't know if anyone remembers the Confederations Cup final. The Confederations Cup final last year.
Yeah.
Right? It's not the same. It was a Confederations Cup final rather than a World Cup final.
Yeah.
That was Brazil-Spain. Brazil completely outclassed Spain.
I mean, there's no comparison.
Still never lost a competitive game on home soil.
Brazil?
Yeah.
Pretty hell.
Does anyone know the one team? That's
incorrect, because they lost the final in Brazil to Uruguay in 1950. Famous since Maracana.
Hang on, since... You didn't let me finish.
Yeah,
since
1950.
Since 1950. Since 1950 lost on home
that's
soil.
That's a big hoodoo. So, Pelé.
Does anyone know the one team Brazil have never beaten in an international game?
England.
San Marino.
They beat us
in the 70 World Cup.
They beat us in 1995 when Graham Rousseau scored a pearl.
No, they beat Spain.
We literally just said that.
You're not going to... It's a really obscure team.
They
played them a few times, but they've never beaten them.
Is it Scotland? Suriname?
Uruguay.
It is Norway.
Norway.
Norway
beat Brazil at the 1998 World Cup.
Yep, they've had a couple of draws.
No,
as well.
They're not.
But Norway have never lost
fact.
To Brazil.
Yeah.
Oh, on
good
Brazil, yeah. I have to say, I think this is the weakest Brazil team I've seen in major tournaments gone by.
2006 and 2010 were weaker.
I don't even think they'll get to the final. I know they're on home soil, but I think they're overhyped.
2006 and 2010 were much
weaker. Well, you know, we're all entitled to our opinions. I don't think they're that good.
Yeah, some of us are just wrong.
Even if they are wrong,
Well, they're relying on... They're going to have to rely on someone like Fred to lead the line, because Neymar doesn't lead the line.
Fred's a great striker as well. Just because Fred doesn't play in Europe...
I read an interview with Oscar, and he said that the mentality of the squad is they're going to win it. They have to win it.
I'm not overly sure it's going to...
Stop interrupting.
I was talking.
Daniel, finish.
I just don't. Right, I think they're overhyped, and I don't think they'll win it.
Fred was better when he played up front with Barney, but he's still banging the girls.
Hey, yabba dabba do.
Bam bam.
Right.
And woof. And rest in peace, the great Rick Mayo.
Yes,
legend.
Very much so.
Do you see they're trying to get his?
Yes, hopefully
I'm going to buy that. I'm going to buy it as well. They're trying to get his unknown. I love the fact they're like. It didn't even release it in 2010, I don't think.
I vaguely remember it. I remember him farting around in some video, like he did brilliantly. But
that'd be a brilliant tribute.
I can't remember what it's called, but go out and buy it. It'll be on iTunes.
What is it called?
Is it Humble England or something?
No. Yes, it is. And he's giving a very powerful speech at the start of it to the squad. Anyway, opening feature tonight, it's got to be a done deal for Brazil, isn't it? It's going to win it.
I don't know.
Croatia are actually probably my dark horses.
Croatia's midfield, that midfield three, and the youngster, I think it's Salic or something. The youngster in midfield, that's that midfield trio of Modric, Rakitic, and this little fella. The little fella has been a lot of people's one to watch.
Yeah.
And he's basically saying he could be better than Modric and Rakitic. Like he's only 21. He's apparently going to be.
They sound at the back, Croatia. Yeah, they've got a lot of creativity. They're my dark horses for the tournament.
That was going to be my next question. But before that, the one thing I will say is they do have a slightly patchy squad. They've got Stipe Pletikosa in goals, who's been their number one for years, but was like third choice at West Ham for a brief period. They do have your weaknesses, but at the same time, I'd go for 2-1 tonight to Brazil. I think opening game, and if you look back at the history, you do get the occasional upset. In 2002, Senegal beating France. In 1990, Cameroon beating Argentina. And Brazil aren't always the greatest starters. They only beat Scotland 2-1 in 1998. But yeah, I think Brazil
will win it tonight, but I think Croatia will qualify from the group. And it's not an easy group.
Who's the other two? Mexico and Cameroon.
And Mexico.
I think Mexico might be able to pick them again simply because of the climate.
I just think Croatia are a lot more solid at the back than Cameroon will be, or Mexico.
It'll probably come down to Croatia-Mexico in the final game.
I would tip Cameroon to lose all three games.
They're not as good as they used to be.
Regardless of their amazing shirts.
Well, there we go. Dark horses. You've said Croatia. Another one who I'm fancying, and quite a few people are talking about, is Bosnia Herzegovina.
A lot of people have said that.
Interesting.
Have looked very good in the run-up to the tournament. It's their first tournament. Dzeko obviously plays them, but they've also got the likes of Pjanic, is it you pronounce it? He was a Roma.
And a few others.
Well, they could definitely qualify for that. I mean, Nigeria, you've got to say Argentina.
Nigeria are probably a better team than they've been in a long time, actually.
They acquitted themselves quite well last year at the Confederations Cup. I think they drew with Uruguay.
Yeah. Well, what's their nickname? The Eagles.
Super Eagles. Crystal Palace didn't qualify this time.
My dark horse is Belgium.
He's not looked at it.
Everyone's been talking about Belgium for about 3 years, saying how they're dark horses. They're not dark horses.
They've got a really good team. They've got some fucking international superstars.
If
they are without Lukaku, then you know that's a bit.
That's what I mean.
To not have Lukaku,
to not have a striker. Up front.
De Bruyne could play up front. There is a lad on their books, but in the squad.
They're all sort of just behind the striker, aren't they?
Lukaku gives any centre back a real big headache. Without him in the team, you're losing a massive dimension to your starting 11.
Switzerland look quite good.
This is an interesting group, isn't it? Greece, Japan, Ivory Coast, and Colombia.
Japan are supposed to be a couple of players.
There's about nine of their squad who play in the Bundesliga.
Because most of them actually play in Japan.
There's about nine of them playing in the top flight in Germany.
I'm interested to know why Tom thought Switzerland's bollocks.
Because I think they're going to be the Greece of this World Cup.
Potentially.
I forget which Greece.
Who are Greece going to be?
The Greece of about two, three World Cups ago. I think it was when they qualified, beating every single team.
Not the Greece of 2002.
'94 that the Greece went there and lost.
Switzerland did. Ranked something ridiculously high, like seventh.
They were the seeds in that group.
They're absolutely shite.
Do you give them a point out of that group?
They'll draw with Honduras if Honduras stay with 11 men on the pitch. After watching that England game, I'm not sure they will.
But they've got
the great Emilio Izaguirre going for Honduras, so they'll probably score.
They've not got Rangers Arnold Peralta, who got injured.
Was the England game after the last podcast? podcast?
Yeah, it wasn't. We haven't spoken about...
No,
the
friendlies. But fuck me, they didn't have to try and kick seven saves of six.
Honduras.
Yeah, yeah. They qualified as well. They take it easy, but they did. Yeah.
The one positive out of that game was we could carry no injuries out of it. And really, really bad.
I wish they'd gone up and kicked seven shades of shit out of Adrian Charles and when they were trying to fill that up.
Oh, my God, that was the most... That was the most...
I was actually asleep at that stage. I fell asleep.
I was so lucky. Yeah. I actually forgot it was on. And I've been out. I came home and went, oh, bollocks, I've missed the football. It's 10 o'clock at night, whatever it was. Yeah, as I got on Twitter, they went, yep, still no restart to the football. I was like, oh, hang on a minute.
Like 15 minutes, literally,
15
minutes.
Yeah, so I speak to them, like, oh, don't worry, we're going to be kicking off again in 5 minutes. I was like, oh, I've only missed 20 minutes, and it's how pleasant.
Is that actually on
Adrian
that?
Charles employed? He stutters more than he speaks.
Yeah.
And he's just fucking inane.
He makes Andy Townsend look like a good broadcaster, doesn't he?
Don't start me on that.
I think we've started him.
Champions League is punditry. It's just he may as well be in his Chelsea kit up in the stands.
At least it's going to get better with Rio Ferdinand.
I can't wait.
I'll tell you what. There's another next question for you. Which pundit are you most looking forward to? Because I'm much for BBC's coverage. I'm looking forward to seeing Janino, but I'm looking forward to Cannavaro on ITV.
Yeah, Cannavaro would be interesting. Right,
BBC have got Thierry.
He's a bit of a mad Italian.
Oh, Thierry will be good. He has a lot of vavavoom.
Oh, yeah, he does.
He's
a personality.
What? Vavavoom?
Henri's got a bit of a personality. Yeah. Henri's got a bit of a personality.
It looks like it, yeah.
It's very nautical / Gaelic.
Did anyone watch the BBC's sort of preview to the World Cup last night? I didn't watch. Did anyone watch
Brazil
it? Lineker, Shearer, and someone else, Vieira or someone like that. I don't know who it was.
There's a documentary about Brazil, the beautiful game the other night. I've recorded. I haven't watched yet.
Yeah,
it's the fucking World Cup tonight, boys.
It is.
Unbelievable. And that is next question. Who's going to disappoint?
I think Brazil. Brazil will disappoint.
That's a big call from Franco.
That is a massive call.
Well, they will disappoint if they don't get to the final, because everyone's saying they're going to win. Brazil will disappoint. I guarantee you.
Okay, but I would say
Belgium are going to disappoint.
I could see Belgium going out in the second round. Once they get through that group, they're going to play one of Germany, Portugal, USA, or Ghana. All of which fairly strong. Ghana, I've got in the sweepstakes, so they are now my second team at the tournament.
Yeah. Unlucky.
That was £2 down the drain.
The swan.
Well, last time, 2010, when we did our sweepstakes at work, we had a prize for last place, which I always think is good in that sort of thing.
Yeah,
because you can always work it out.
It's not like the. I didn't have a couple of quid on me, so I'm not in it. But that's what it is. It's not like the Grand National. When even if you pick out a 200-1,
you never know.
There is a chance that the fucking donkey could still win.
Yeah. But Ecuador are not going to win.
No, that's my pick. So you might as well chuck away that.
Ben, to be fair, how many people do you think said that in 2004 when Greece won the Euros? Oh, I've got Greece. Shit.
Yeah, but
fair point.
But
it's one to the blooming.
I've got another one who I think might disappoint, and that's Uruguay. Don't see them getting out of our group. I think it'll be us in Italy. A lot being talked about Uruguay.
That's a big call.
Personally,
Franco's putting it out there.
Personally, you know what? I'm laying myself on the line a little bit, but I don't think much of Cavani. I haven't really seen him play in any real big game or any big scenario. Suarez is a fantastic player. But he's not had a good build up to the tournament. And
Suarez.
Let's see what happens.
The thing with Uruguay is I think
they're overrated.
Uruguay have the potential. They've got players like Suarez, Cavani and Forlan coming up next, who can create something out of nothing.
And they are used to... where are you going?
Everyone
drink? Chris, I'm alright. I bought two.
Yeah, sorry, James.
Absolutely fantastic. But,
while you're organising your drinks, I tell you, the couple who I think might struggle... The first one is Colombia, who I think might disappoint without Falcao. I know they've got the other lad up front who looks quite tasty, who plays for...
Sevilla.
Freddy Guerin.
I couldn't remember his name.
It's Barra or something.
Victor. I
think he's one of the ones to watch this tournament.
100%. That was actually me. You stole my one to watch, Franco.
Sorry.
Can I just interrupt as well? Because last week we took a photo next to a van that said Mems on it.
It's back.
Just to Gillingham. Now, a lorry's drove past. They're everywhere. Gillingham are taking over. But my second one that I think might disappoint, and I'm loath to say it because... I really hope he does well in his next job, but that's Holland.
I've actually got Holland written down here.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
I've got Holland
in a group
down
with
there,
Chile, who are a lot of people's dark
horses. Do you not read upside down?
Yeah,
he's struggling with it the right way off. But yeah, a lot of people's outsiders are chilly. In fact, Rachel Riley from Countdown did that thing for a famous bookmaker. Yeah.
Right, that's it. My name again on chilly.
Ladbrokes. And said chilly were the most likely team to win.
Rachel Riley says it's bollocks.
I mean, it's bollocks, but yeah.
I think chilly might edge Holland out of
qualifying. Rachel alone.
I think they could, yeah.
I think chilly could quite easily edge him out of qualifying.
I think we need
chilly
to be a little
beat
bit...
England 2-0 in a friendly
It was, yeah.
And they've got Sanchez, and if they can put two past Fraser Forster, then they're bound to be a good side.
He's a big lad. I think we should be more worried about... where's the fuck... Where are they playing? England playing?
Manaus.
Yeah. Have you seen the state of the pitch?
I think
and the weather.
That's a bit
It looks like Paddy Power have turfed half of it up for some sort of
a wind up.
Yeah.
Inside and outside.
Just because they do some turfing doesn't mean that all the paddies.
Oh, not like that. Tom, I'm talking about the rainforest.
You've done well. I can't believe some people fell for that.
I know.
I can't believe some people thought Paddy Power genuinely chopped down a load of the rainforest.
But then at the same time, I wouldn't put it past Paddy Power either.
No, come on, chopping down a rainforest.
Don't you remember? Was it the last World Cup? Where Bentner had the Paddy Power pants and fined ridiculous.
The Euros, yeah.
How fucking out of order is that you're away from FIFA of that sort of power?
Yeah. I'm glad he's a dickhead.
One thing I like Bentner for is doing that shit, rather than all the bollocks you get with fucking changing the laws of the country that the tournament staged in. You're not allowed to have the World Cup in your country unless you submit to FIFA laws during the entirety of the World Cup. They have their own courts.
Bloody hell.
Every country that takes the World Cup on has to have FIFA laws that subsidize.
So is Sepp Blatter in charge?
Yeah, well...
No. Is he there with his little hat on? Is it gravel?
Gavel.
That's it.
I tell you what, that's going to go down really well.
Did you not hear about the Dutch girls that got the Dutch models that got arrested in South Africa?
They
were wearing the orange dresses. The Dutch always wear orange. It's part of the fucking fans. But they had some beer logo on the bottom of their of their dresses that wasn't a FIFA
official sponsor.
So they got put in jail.
Fuck off.
Because it was a FIFA law.
Obviously, they weren't sentenced to a prison sentence.
That's hard.
No, they're still getting nicked for wearing an orange dress with a logo on it.
But I tell you what, that Sepp Blatter's FIFA do.
I tell you what, though, that's really fucking clever from that Dutch beer company thinking, what do we always cut to during World Cup games? Oh, yeah, pictures of really attractive women in the crowd.
Oh, that is also what I'm very much looking forward to about the World Cup.
Hey, but going back to martial law...
Oh, yeah, in the heat as well.
You know, a country that's currently under a military junta, Thailand, and what the military junta have done...
They're not in the World Cup, are they?
They're not in the World Cup,
I missed something.
This is the World Cup, show, Michael.
And that's what it's relating to. This military junta, they're trying to win the people's support, so they've put in a policy known as the happiness policy. So it's been things like free haircuts, something which you could have done with Dan, because clearly the person who's done it's left a bit on the back of yours.
All right.
No, that's not slagging it off.
I was sorting that out last night.
I tried. It looks charming.
It looks charming. You look like Dennis the Menace. The American version, not the British one. And also free concerts. But also, they are ordering, because in Thailand, only some World Cup games are going to be on free TV, and you have to buy a decoder to watch the rest. And obviously Thailand has quite a lot of poverty, not everyone can afford it, so they're ordering the World Cup to be shown for free.
That's pretty good.
They're also instilling curfews across the country and attacking protesters, but they're showing the World Cup
on the plus side.
Yeah. So
is that all across Thailand?
And that ends up the political part of our discussion then.
There's always got to be a little bit
back to the World Cup. I want to lay a challenge down. I want to lay an initial challenge down for the opening weekend, including Friday.
Right.
So, to get your badge of honour, right, we've all talked about being excited about the World Cup, but who intends to watch every game?
No.
No.
For a start, it's impossible because some games clash.
Yeah.
It's not impossible. Well, you can buy two TVs. Yeah.
Well, you could have your iPad.
Are two games
on
the same? When are two games on the same time?
At the end of the group stage.
Yeah, yeah, they all play at the same time.
Because,
do you know why?
Because in, I think it was 1982, it was Austria, Algeria, and Germany vying to get out of the group. Algeria played earlier, and then Austria and Germany
played
went
1-0
and played that. No, Germany went 1-0 up, and then they just passed it around because it meant both would go through. So blatant match fixing.
Anyway, chaps, badge of honour. For the first 11 games which take place between Friday and the end of Sunday.
I'm at a Download Festival this weekend, so I can't.
Do you know what the tough one's going
to
be? So
I might be able to do that.
So right, well,
I'm out on the piss all day tomorrow, so I don't know if I'll remember them. But
well, you never know. Saturday. So it'll kick off with Brazil and Croatia. You've got Mexico, Cameroon, Spain, Holland, Chile, Australia.
Are we talking the entirety of the games, or
I think
I get home from work for the Cameroon Mexico game?
Depends. Well, if you're travelling to get to see it, whatever.
No,
you
can doesn't count. Doesn't count.
Colombia, Greece.
No.
Every minute. Japan.
Every minute of every game.
Oh, the tough one will be that, surely. 2 a.m. 2 a.m. Japan.
2 a.m. That's on Sunday morning, Saturday night.
Oh, that's after the England
only
game.
One
but then you've got Switzerland, France, and you've got Argentina, Bosnia at 11 p.m. on Sunday night.
You've got
that.
Right.
If you can do all of those games, I will give you your badge of honour.
Sorry, can I correct you? It's Switzerland, Ecuador, and France, Honduras. Chris's fag packet was covering over half of those.
Sorry.
But yeah, and no, there's no chance whatsoever. No. I've told
you this before. I'm going to Download Festival this weekend.
Yeah, that's no. I'm out house hunting all day Saturday.
That's not interesting.
The fact that you're going to see the Download Festival,
which you mentioned 3 times.
No, the screens there, I bet.
No, this is exactly it. Because the old metalheads obviously love their football.
Big
as
football
well.
Fans,
and it perfect.
Obviously, I remember all the moshers that were in our school team.
Mate, the old metalheads fucking love their football. It's all the old school.
Bruce Dickinson, all the old ones do.
So there's
BMP.
There is going to be so the live music finishes at 10:30. Perfect time for the England game to kick off at 11. So there could be 30,000-40,000 people watching the England game on a big screen, which will be like being at a fucking game.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited about watching it.
Interesting. The only festival that's happening during the World Cup that isn't planning to show anything is Glastonbury.
Yeah.
Which they've done it in the past, but they've said this time because they don't want to detract from the music. Even though England are playing on the Thursday, which is the night before the music hall kicks off.
Yeah, bollocks. So, I was supposed to be going. I'm not now, so I'm pretty sure.
In fact, no, they're not actually, because it's during the second round and you can't be sure.
Also, a little brag is that I will be in Barcelona for Spain's, as long as they qualify, get out the group, which you'd imagine they will. I'll be in Barcelona for Spain's first knockout game, which I think could be quite interesting.
Quite nice for you.
Will they be
irrelevant
Spain
for
in Barcelona though?
Well. I mean,
they've got a lot of the contingent, the Catalonia.
I mean, half of them play for Barcelona, so probably.
Yeah.
But I know what you mean. Oh, that political again. Why are we going political again?
Just asking.
Dangerous.
Couple
of World Cup facts
for
you.
Cut that off.
Couple of World Cup facts. And actually, they all relate to the same player. So, first of all,
is it Lothar Matthäus?
No. Well, no. That. Is, oh, all right. Well, so we'll go on that one first then.
No.
So, So Miroslav Klose is 19 appearances in World Cups. Lothar Matthäus is the all-time leading appearances on 25.
Cheers, Chris.
If Germany gets to the final and Klose plays in all of those games, he will go level with Lothar Matthäus being the equal most capped World Cup player.
Have you seen Ronaldo is trying to get people to put a...
No. If he gets to the final, he will be the most,
If he plays in all the games, yeah.
Have you seen that Ronaldo, old Ronaldo, has been asking people to put a curse on Klose to stop him scoring and becoming the world's all-time.
Well, Miroslav Klose could become the leading World Cup goal scorer and appearance player.
Who's won the golden boot with the least amount of goals scored at the World Cup?
Was it last time out with five? Was it
Lineker had six, didn't he?
Forlan, Muller, and
is it Lineker with six?
I thought it was Lineker with six.
No,
was it
five at Klose? And the one before Klose got five in 2006.
Yeah. Well, then yes.
Well, no, last time was Forlan, Muller. And
all right, yeah. All right, yeah. It's that then.
But Lineker won it with six.
Going back to
when you get someone like Just Fontaine winning it with someone like 16 all them years.
13.
Who was it? Who was the Italian? The unknown Italian,
Toto Scarlacci.
Yes, Toto Scarlacci. Which, very good. Which brings me on to quickly to Immobile. Immobile.
He's not disabled. He is actually an Italian footballer.
I thought that's what you called me on the football pitch.
Emil Eski's got another call up.
He is. He is also going back to. We're a long way away, but one to watch, and the one I fear most about for Saturday is.
He's not going to play, though, is he?
They reckon he is. He's in the warm up game against. Flamengo. It was Flamengo. No,
Fluminense.
Fluminense the other day. finished 5-2. It was a great fucking game of football. 5-2 or 5-3. He scored three and set up the other two for Italy. He is... like, and he was a top scorer in Serie A last year, playing for Torino, I think it was.
No, yeah, get Phil Jones on him, sharpish.
He is fucking dangerous.
And is that the actual pronunciation?
Immobile.
He's Immobile.
No, it's Immobile. Immobile. Yeah.
We'll call him Immobile.
Going back to Fluminense.
Isn't Ronaldinho still playing for them?
I don't think he's at Fluminense, I think he's at Flamengo or something.
That's the one.
Yeah. But Fluminense is the former club of Rafael and Fabio, the twins. And Rio Ferdinand tweeted earlier that he's watching the game at their house this evening in Brazil.
Brilliant.
And then someone on the BBC has tweeted in on their live World Cup countdown thing, saying, I imagine them living like Bert and Ernie. And there's a picture of Rafael and Fabio and then Bert and Ernie from Sesame Street.
Oh, yeah, that's sleeping in the same bed.
That's cute.
But anyway, just going back quickly to Miroslav Klose from a lot earlier, congratulations to him because he overtook Gerd Müller, one of the greatest strikers of all time, as Germany's all-time top scorer the other day. Albeit Gerd Müller got to, I think, 69 goals in 63 games.
Yeah,
his record 100 plus caps.
Yeah, was he 36 now, Closer?
Something like that.
He's at least 36, I think.
I mean, he's no older than that.
He's very lucky to be mentioned in the same breath as Gerd Müller.
But, he's been consistently good at tournaments, Closer.
I would expect him to surpass Ronaldo with the goal scoring because Germany haven't got any more actual out-and-out forwards. So they've got Royce, they've got Ozil, they've got...
Royce is out.
So
they've got Müller normally scores from midfield, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And it was interesting to see why he... over to our foreign correspondent.
Yeah.
I don't understand why they left out Gomez. But do you see that...
he's not really been playing very well, though, is he?
His attitude.
But Joachim Löw... I fucking love that name.
Call him Yogi.
Loom. He said that he didn't reckon he'd last the tournament. So he said there's no point bringing a player for the price of someone. But he is an out and out striker, and he's someone that you'd have thought that would have been involved in the squad.
Yeah, definitely. But I think Germany will struggle if Klose does pick up an injury. They've got no one else who's that capable of leaving the line.
I know Müller sometimes, but I think he's very good in that role, to be honest with you.
No, I agree with you.
I don't think he's very good. I think he worked better as a winger.
Do you want to know the most impressive thing about Miroslav Klose becoming Germany's all-time top goal scorer?
Go on.
He's fucking Polish.
Yeah, Polish.
And so what about the odds on Klinsmann getting USA to beat him? Going back there.
Oh, that'd be a fucking great.
I think the US
that would be amazing. Landon Donovan.
Yeah.
Completely disagreed with Klinsmann's view that USA can't win the World Cup.
Yeah.
Funny that, the fat knacker that's got left out of the squad.
Landon Donovan came
out
and said, might surprise you, but I disagree with Jurgen.
Yeah, funny that. Really, but yeah. I think it's, imagine if Klinsmann came around and went, no, we can win this. That'd be fucking stupid, Jurgen.
You're talking shit.
All right, then. Great goal scorers like Jurgen Klinsmann. Who are you tipping to be the Golden Boot?
Aguero for me.
Yeah, it's all over. I think.
Look at the group stage. Yeah. I mean, there's goals in all of those
over
games.
Over Messi.
And I don't fancy Argentina to...
Messi not got a great
to absolutely dominate
Messi
that group.
Messi hasn't got... Oh, well, I was going to say, bloody hell. Messi hasn't got
World
a great goal scoring record.
World Cup.
But bearing in mind he was fucking about four last World Cup. As well, and all the other.
Last World Cup he was the best player in the world at the time. Yeah, 2006 he wasn't.
But he said that he recognises a lot of mistakes that he made that were made at the last World Cup and how he knows to rectify them. And I think he will be a bit of a terror.
Well, I think he'll. I'm not going to ruin your next question.
I was just going to say on Argentina's group that they're not playing mugs. Iran aren't a very good side at all, but they're quite well drilled. They've got Carlos Queiroz, who understands what's going on as their manager, and he's been there at international level before.
He gets it.
But is he
the Iran manager?
Yeah.
Knows what's going on.
But Bosnia and Nigeria aren't bad sides.
No, but they league goals.
No, Bosnia don't. Nigeria do to an extent.
Against the team like Argentina.
Everyone leagues goals against Argentina.
And Nigeria have got the real tip for the Golden Boot, Michel Ramiobi, so it doesn't matter.
The African teams never get humped, though, do they? You never see a massive scoreline against an African team.
It's a common misconception that the African teams have terrible defence.
Yeah.
They never get
comedy goalkeepers, but they still manage to keep
comedy keepers.
But they never get.
So what? You reckon with that dodgy group? old Didier Drogba for the Ivory Coast could end
up. Potentially, I mean, that's the, as I say, no, that group, anyone could come out of.
It's not a matter. Look, if you've got three games, you get a couple of goals in each against,
but that's,
you know,
a dodgy
Japan.
That's a fairly
or Greece
strong
side.
Group. Japan are decent, Greece have got good defence, and Colombia, you don't know which one will turn up.
Very well organised, Japan. Yeah.
But you don't have to, potentially, you don't have to get to the final to get the golden boot.
No. Yeah, exactly.
No, you, like with Lineker, you know, he'd have got the golden boot.
Yeah, but you need to get out of the group stage.
All right, I tell you, my outside tip.
No,
wait, I say my outside tip, but one no one's mentioned.
One at a time.
Oleg Zelenka.
Yeah, there we go. Good man. The Russian, he got four in the last
five. He got five.
And he won the golden boot.
My outside tip, golden boot, he's not an outside tip at all, but we've not mentioned him, Cristiano Ronaldo.
I don't think they'll get far enough.
I think they will.
I don't think he's fit.
I think Portugal will shock a few people, but I think Portugal might win that group.
He's well fit. Speaking of well fit, I want to do this, and we'll do it quickly because I think it's one of the best questions that FFDU have posed to us. I think it's fucking hilarious. They FFDU boys asked, and girls, sorry Jess, posed the question, the best looking 11 at the World Cup. But it's got to include three bad boys. Yeah. Right, we'll go really quickly.
All good boy bands have a bad boy. Do you think you can change?
Yeah. Well, yes, yeah. I mean, we are a rare breed, the good-looking bad boys.
start with Balotelli up front.
Are you referring to
Yeah. Ah, you know that one.
You're like a teddy Tossin. Bear, you prick. Anyway, goalkeeper got to be Gigi Buffon.
Yeah. Oh, Joe Hart. With his beautiful,
I'm talking about it workable on, but no, Joe Hart is not as good looking as Gigi Buffon.
He does pluck his eyebrows though.
Yeah, but what about Casillas? Casillas is a good looking boy.
God, this show's going
out. Right back.
Let's just listen to Dan. Jordi Alba. Finish on this.
He's a left back.
Left back, Jordi Alba.
Left back, Alba. Alba. Martinez.
For the rough look.
No, I thought that what they were asking was your all time.
Sergio Ramos, the centre back, wins hands down.
Rooney up front.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not taking this seriously, Andy. I can't understand why, but I don't think you're taking this seriously at all.
I was hoping we could have one of our bad boys be.
No, surely up front, Olivier Giroud. Yeah. He is a handsome chap.
The way you said that,
Olivier.
Well.
I mean, he is a handsome man. But what Torres? Is he better looking than Torres?
Is he better looking than Tevez?
He's not there.
No, damn it.
Ruled out.
If we're looking at all time. One of bad boys.
We're not looking at all time.
Come on, let's.
I want to mention
Leonardo. This is a
serious question.
Leonardo, when he elbowed that lad in USA
98. Well, that was fucking awful. Yeah, but
bad boy.
It's rare to find a good looking bad boy. I'll leave that with you.
Jay from
on that bombshell.
Yeah. Anyway, we had a couple of other questions that were quite good.
Yeah, player of the tournament.
Messi.
Adam Lallana.
But how can, so you're going to give Aguero a golden boot to get Messi to the tournament?
Yeah, you quite think that's quite easy to do.
Sorry. Surely he'd be player of the tournament. Chris, if he's bangs in 10 goals, he's got to be player of the tournament.
No, but if Messi plays like Messi, but is more instrumental in setting goals
up. What if
up
Messi plays like
them?
Ronaldo?
What if Ronaldo plays like Camille Heskey?
No, I think
that's
we've got Aguero top goal scorer and Messi player of the
tournament.
Who?
Portugal. So you get to international level, they're going to close him down.
Helder Posquiga up front. Is he in the squad?
He's in the squad, but I don't think he's starting. I think it's Hugo Almeida. He scored twice against Ireland the other night, and they battered them 5-1.
Did they?
Yeah.
Raul Morelos.
Fuck, I didn't watch that.
Lad.
Oh, lad.
Just because he's got a couple.
Did you see when they did the selfie, the Portugal selfie, and they changed it so if everyone had Raul Morelos' beard? It's a great picture.
Impressive beard.
Nice.
Player of the tournament. Nah.
Anyway.
Meh. Nah.
Yeah, no one would have predicted Forlan last time, would they? No one would have really predicted Oliver Kahn in 2002. So
who else is making any suggestions?
Well, if you're going for a slightly
Eden Hazard.
Who from the dark horses of Belgium should we pick?
Eden Hazard.
If you're going for a slightly outside one, I think you could go for a defender from somewhere. So somebody like a
company. Glenn Johnson?
Effie Ambrose from Nigeria.
It's
a bit like rugby forwards, going back to it. You don't really get good-looking defenders, do you?
Cannavaro was.
Maldini.
Cannavaro was a very good-looking man. Maldini, as I mentioned. Sergio
Nesta.
Ramos.
Nesta.
Ian Dowie.
Nesta
was a sexy man.
He was a striker. Ian Marshall, who played up front and in defence for Leicester City. Very good.
Well, he's a striker, so that doesn't count.
We played up front and in defence. Yeah,
but he did a job at the back.
Well, he didn't really. He didn't really do a job up front either, but he was quite fat, so good lad. And the other one, I think we've kind of touched on this best young player.
Not really.
Ben Halloran from Australia.
Ben Halloran from Australia.
181 in the Panini stickers.
I think.
What do we count as a young player? No. Under 21?
Under 20.
Under 30.
Yeah.
Farage Montrigan, the 43-year-old Colombian goalkeeper.
Depending on how England play, I think that there's a good chance of someone like Sterling or Barkley taking that.
Not the entire tournament.
But it depends on
if England get far enough.
If England get to the quarter,
I think we'll get to the quarter final.
If we get to the quarter final and they put in a couple of good performances, it depends on how other young players perform.
But then you've got to think of. Man.
Yeah, but
believe me, I'd love that. I'd fucking love it if Sterling turned out to be the player of the tournament.
There's talk of him playing at number 10 and Rooney playing on left.
But that's what Tim Tantrum said. Why have the Mirror posting England's tactics on the back page?
And to be fair, it wasn't just the Mirror; it was the Mail and a few others.
The Mail.
Is this a photo of Neville?
Yeah, a picture of Neville's notes. And when the ball goes into the control zone, team must make at least three passes. Blah 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 blah. Then they put a little fucking asterisk by it. And they put, this is clearly Gary Neville's training notes and not secret tactical information for the big match against Italy. Yes, it is.
Yeah, exactly.
He's saying that how we're going to approach the Italy game and how they want to attack.
They're just trying to cover it up. Like, what? That trick? No, it wasn't match tactics. No. What are you talking about?
I mean, there's one thing us saying that Welbeck's injured. It looks like Sterling might play in the 10 role. Yeah, right. That might be giving someone away. It is a bit stupid, but we weren't the only ones. But actually, printing secret notes that were written on one of the coaches' bits of paper. You fucking idiots, the Mail.
Can I just ask everyone's opinion here? If Welbeck isn't going to play, so he's not going to play wide, why
they're saying it's going to be Lallana who's dropped and not Welbeck.
Okay. If Welbeck's injured and you have to bring someone else in,
Barkley.
But why is Rooney playing on the left if Sterling is going to play?
Be honest,
surely
you
play Sterling wide.
Yeah, I don't think you should play Rooney at all. Rooney is just not the player he.
Right.
No, I think he's the player he was.
I disagree.
And he's not a number 10. You got Sturridge, who is an out and out goal scorer. Right, yeah, three good chances.
No, I think Rooney is a 10.
Rooney is an out and out goal scorer.
Not anymore. I would play Lallana ahead of Rooney. He's had a much better season. He's a more skillful player. He brings people into the game better.
I do love the fact he's both footed. Can I just say I completely disagree.
He's a better footballer than Rooney.
I completely disagree. He's a more naturally skilled.
We've laid ourselves on the line today, boys.
Can I play devil's advocate then? Rooney didn't have a bad season.
I don't think you can be devil's advocate being a Man United fan.
Can I play the opposite side? Rooney didn't have a bad season.
Other than De Gea, he was as good as anyone in your squad.
Four less than Daniel Sturridge and he played a lot less games.
But he's fat though.
He's always scored goals for England. He's not had great tournaments since Euro 2004, but this is the first one he's going into with no injuries, no suspensions, nothing like that. He's a big game player.
Like
he's used to the environment. Adam Lallana
is not a big game player.
Yes, he is. That's rubbish. That's a myth.
Going back to my question, though, boys.
Champions League semi-finals. He's banged goals.
Going back to my question, if you are going to play him, why play him wide? Play him in the central hole. And you know, if you are going to play Sterling, then play him wide.
And we've
play
got
him. But he did play so well driving through the middle.
Yeah,
Sterling. Sterling did play very well.
I think if you play the formation that we'd
fell out of play there.
Yeah, but he's injured.
If you're playing the formation we're looking at playing, Michael's waving his hand. I think we play with a certain amount of fluidity with the formation that we're talking about. So it's not like Rooney's not going to drift wide. It's not like Sterling's not going to drift inside. But at least start him in that hole. That's
exactly what I was going to say, is that we should have players who are skilled enough and fluid enough as Rooney, Lallana, Welbeck, Sturridge, Sterling, Oxlade-Chamberlain, whoever it is, James Milner, they should all be good enough, and they are all good enough to play fluidly. Yeah.
I love Ross Barkley.
Ross Barkley.
I genuinely start playing people ahead of Rooney, left, right, and centre. Barkley also being another one of them.
Mate,
Rooney, the extra training and all that he brought out. Did you see his first touch in the last couple of warm-up games? His first touch against Honduras was worse than mine.
It was woeful.
He also looks unfit. You got a good touch. You just don't move.
But that, then at the same time, there were a number of players who looked very poor against Honduras.
Daniel
Sturridge was atrocious.
Yeah, those are three terrible chances. But
and it is a little bit worrying.
If he's the central hub of the attacking unit and he's got a terrible first touch, which I think he has, then you've got to drop him. You just have to. He can't be the supposedly skillful player that gets the beautiful first touch, turns, runs, brings other people in.
I don't think that's expected of him anymore.
Do we not think it was a little bit worrying? I know that we were very much looking at no injuries and very much looking at, you know, keeping up, you know, just getting through the game. But the fact that we couldn't break down a 10-man Honduras for half an hour, do we not think that is a slightly worrying?
But I always had this thing where it's like, it's not the World Cup, and it was only a warm-up game.
I know, but
even so, do you think that there might have been a chance that they weren't going for it 100%?
Yeah, it could have, obviously, you've got to take that into account.
But I also go with Roy Hodgson has said, and I agree with him as well, is that all of these sort of friendlies...
Are a bit of a waste of time. He basically said that.
But what I'm going on is that actually we played all of those games on the front foot. We have looked to try and win the game. We did create enough chances to win the game. We didn't, but we played on the front foot, and I think that's all positive.
I really hope we attack.
I really hope we attack. I think we did create the chances against them, and I think we could have killed off, but we're running out of a bit of time here, so... The obvious one to end.
Were bad. He should have scored all three of them. Really. Yeah.
Well, who think? What's the score going to be on Saturday?
Well, I was
1-0 either way. I'm afraid.
I think 1-0 to us.
We got a new host.
Yeah, I know. I would say 1-1, but what I was going to say is, because we're going to have to rant off, is how will England do in the tournament? To lay it out at the start, how far will England get? Start with you, Andy.
Well, I think we'll get through the group phase, and then, you know, let's see. I think if we get through the group phase,
I want, how far will we get? I want a solid prediction. I know it's not easy to make a prediction at this stage.
I'm going to say we're going to win it.
one
of us has to.
Going with the theme of fucking out there.
So Ian Wright said we're going to win it. Chris.
Yeah, I think we'll do the groups. I think we'll come second in the group, and then I think we'll go out the first game.
Against Colombia, Greece, Japan, or Ivory Coast.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll win one.
You can't change it now.
No.
Second round.
Yeah, second round.
I am the eternal pessimist, which means that I can only be happy if I'm wrong. So I'm going to say we won't get out of the group. So, and that is...
I said that a while ago.
That is what I'm saying, what I feel. So if I feel, if we do get out of the group, I can only be happy.
We've got the full gamut of opinions here, Tom.
Yeah,
right,
why not?
Well, as long as we don't play Rooney, I reckon...
He hates me, Rooney!
No, I actually think they've got a good chance. I'm saying semi-finals.
Well...
Semi!
Well, seeing as there's only...
There we go!
You might as well go quarters.
There's only one more round to check off, which is the quarterfinals, and that is actually where I think...
But technically, no one said runners-up. We've got winners, we've got semis, we've got semi-finals.
Will we be third or fourth, Tom?
Fourth. Doesn't matter, does it?
I'm going to go for quarterfinals. And just quickly, we must mention that since the last show, Melbourne Heart ceased to exist and therefore no longer exists in my heart. There is a new club called Melbourne City.
Mike is absolutely refusing to align himself
with Melbourne City. I won't support him, I'm sorry.
But they've signed Damien Duff. and David Villa for the first 10 games.
That's the first time you'll ever hear those two mentioned in the same bracket.
They've signed Damien Duff and David Villa.
They've got that because Villa's gone to the new New York City.
Yeah,
the new York team. Because they don't have their season starts later.
He's the only player signed at New York at the moment.
But so for the first 10 games, obviously to keep up fitness, he signed a 10 game for Melbourne Heart. Damien Duff on the left or right, wherever you fancy him. They're going to be a fucking force, Melbourne City, next year.
Oh yeah, they should automatically be favourites.
You're
going
to have to support them now.
No, not fucking chance. But couple of bits to wrap up with. We are recording to more stuff tomorrow night, which will go live on Monday.
Who's actually going to be there?
That will be X-rated,
Chris,
think,
Dan, Tom,
Jim,
Connor. Connor, but he doesn't ever really come down. But there's going to be quite a few. They're going to watch.
Will Mundell be there?
No. Simon Head. Simon Head will be there.
That's who I was about to say. The Godfather, Simon Head. And I must say, it is 4 years since we started the podcast, because we started with a World Cup preview show. So the fact we've made it 4 years, I don't think there's anything down to us.
Round of applause for us.
He said, thank you to all of you for listening.
I hope you're clapping at home.
We will be.
You four people that listen every week, we owe you a hell of a lot.
Cheers, Mum.
This is for you.
But we will be recording regularly throughout the tournament. I think we're going to have to record on Monday to talk about the
Yeah,
game.
We might as well.
I think it
a
makes
bumper
sense.
Weekend of football podcast.
And it's Monday clubbing Wetherspoons. So.
I'm not in on Monday.
Neither am I.
Well,
that's all right, we'll do it.
Tuesday.
We'll be recording Wednesday. Throughout the tournament regularly. So if we're only doing 10 minutes here or there, there'll be bits and bobs. Look, enjoy the World Cup. It's going to be amazing. There's
It'll
no
be great.
Now, look, 15 minutes. Mark is sitting talking for another hour, by the way.
I know.
But people
will never listen again.
It is going to be great. Good luck to your team.
Come on, England.
Come on, England.
Come on, England. Speak to you soon.
Drop Rooney.